Real radio. Real internet radio.
Welcome to Extreme Edition. Enter at your own risk.
All right, this is Daryl Chesser here again with you. And tonight we have in our studio again as our special guest, Dr. Stephen Houston.
Hello.
And tonight it's, as you've already probably seen on the website, this is on a special page because we call this our unlimited forum.
Woo.
Yeah, in other words, we're gonna push subjects a little further. We're not limited by time here as much as we are on the GD radio and some of the other things that we do. So he and I have been talking, and one of the things that we discussed was just the issue of divorce.
D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
Yeah, and it's a big issue, and we just wanted to kind of push into it and see what's going on. The relevancy of today, I mean, there's the divorce rate in the church is as high, or even some cases more than the world, but just about even. So,
well, absolutely, and there's a myriad of different reasons, and every single couple that are going through problems, we got to be sensitive with this issue because each situation is different. Absolutely.
And not to bring condemnation or justification. So you don't need any help getting justification to get divorced. Some people are just waiting for some man of God to go, do it. They heard from God. They're on their way. So we don't want to justify, and we don't want to also, we don't want to reproach or bring condemnation on you if you've experienced it or going through it a hard time, because we're not in that with you. Now, Pastor Stephen has some unique insight into it because he's experienced it.
Yes.
Me, I have very little to say about it because I've never even been married.
Right.
So I'm going to
not. So you're putting me on the mat then.
I'm putting you on the mat, and we'll just open it up with this. I know many people in my life who have gone through tough times. The Bible says, Jesus says this. Let's start with the hard stuff. Jesus said, you know, because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses gave you permission to do this.
Mm.
And he was talking to that generation, to those people. We'll get into that later. But this is what he says in the red. He goes, he gave you permission to get divorced. He goes, but I'm telling you, it wasn't so from the beginning.
Mm.
He says, because they were man and woman, they become one. And the two aren't supposed to separate in the eyes of God in that sense. He goes, however, one case is in the case of infidelity or adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Then the option is open. It doesn't say it's a slam dunk. In other words, you should. It just says then you're under no compulsion under that. And then another one I read was if an unbelieving spouse mm-hmm. decides to go.
Yes.
You let him go, and the believer, I think it was Paul, said mm-hmm. you're under no obligation in that case. So mm-hmm. let's start right there. Was Jesus telling us divorce is absolutely taboo?
No. And the reason that he isn't and wasn't is that he wanted to set the record straight from the Old Testament. What they did was they had a thing in Judaism called a let, and a let was basically an interpretation of divorce under Moses' law, where someone could turn around three times and say, I divorce thee, I divorce thee, I divorce thee, and get out of the marriage. So he sees the skirt of his choice, or she sees the hunk, and basically that's what happened. And, of course, the synagogue would have to ratify it. Mm. Jesus was stopping this stuff because of infidelity that was going on. And that's why he called them an adulterous generation, not only spiritually, yeah. but also in the physical realm. However, to bring it up to date, what we see in the Christian church today is a lot of different marriages that were never set on the right footing in the first place.
Yeah.
The pastors have not really properly done their job. And don't get me wrong, Daryl, I am just as firmly against divorce now as I've always been in my life.
Yeah.
I didn't wish it to happen. I didn't want it to happen. But here it happened.
Yeah.
And, of course, everybody in the Christian faith is looking for the injured party.
Ah, yeah.
The one that's wronged and the one that's been wronged.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's both are wrong. They're both ingredients. And in one sense, it takes two to tango. But on the other hand, sometimes it's not two to tango. Sometimes it's clearly an incident that's created by one or other party.
Yeah.
Particularly in the case of adultery, or just, we really need to deal with a lot of other areas. And the Apostle Paul itemizes those areas, and he talks about, in chapter 7 here, 1 Corinthians, he talks about, defraud ye not one another, and he's referring to sex, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting, in verse 5, and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And this is referring to abstinence from sex for a while. If you're in the ministry, or you're involved in Christian work, and you got to do something for God, that's more important than your own flesh fulfillment. However, Paul recognizes that once married couples come together and they have sexual relationship, boy, they have primed that pump.
Yeah.
So, hence, he did say at one stage that it's important that people stay single if they can. He undid that later in his ministry in Timothy, and encouraged those busybody women that were in the body in Corinth to get married as quickly as possible, because they're going around meddling. But Corinth is an interesting situation too, because what happened was a load of prostitutes in Corinth got saved. And of course, they came in the church, went up the front of the church, and they're all standing up there speaking in tongues and shaking their hair, and just about every man that had got saved in Corinth, you know, was known.
Yeah.
And there they are flaunting themselves, hence all the head coverings and things that Paul wanted to institute there. So you've got to take it contextually. But in the defrauding ye not one another...
Wait a minute. Are you implying that women somehow purposely try to get men?
Yes.
Wow. That's revolutionary. You mean it's not...
Are you looking for one woman to get you, Dad?
No. But no, it's just funny, because I mean, that's a old thing, isn't it? The whole little act that goes on, the little dance.
Well, yes, but guys can be ornery individuals as well.
Oh,
They look at women as property.
Mm-hmm.
Must have the house, must have the car, the kids.
The trophy wife.
The trophy wife, yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, you've got different kinds of marriages today, because marriage isn't properly taught in the church. Marriage can be incompatible after a while. People can fall out of love. Or else you can have a compatible marriage, which seemingly on the surface looks hunky-dory, but actually it's behavioral a modification,
yeah,
and accommodationism between the couple, and then they find that they no longer love one another. And you know, that in today's world in which we live, and we Christians, we can't be ostriches and hide our head in the sand. There's a lot of games playing going on in marriage, simply because of the profusion of what we see as openness of sexuality today. People have come in out of this kind of a world situation into the kingdom, and they bring with them their ideas. Men may want their wives to perform sexual acts which you know they expect their wife to be Mata Hari in the bedroom,
yeah,
while she's still been taxi mom, she's still been chief cook and bottle washer, looking after the home, and they're expecting her just at a click of a finger to turn into some mad thing at nighttime. And really, there can then be a reaction. And so I see divorce as an issue that has to start way back in the fathering of sons and the upbringing, and a lot more openness with children about issues. And that takes us to get our own lives right with God too. But I see this defrauding issue as a big issue. Games playing. You know, if I give you this, well, then you'll get that, and so on. Tally system, which is all wrong.
Yeah.
Because true love is totally different than that. True love is an intangible thing. It also can be very selfish.
Yeah.
But if God's in view is the first love, well, then it can really be something special. So there's a lot more to it, and it's more involved today than just what we see as the diktat in the letter of the law. And of course, Christ spoke in the spirit of life, and he took into account the background and the situation and so on and so forth.
Well, I know that we have a tendency, especially those of us who grew up in the church, we have a real tendency to take what Jesus said, or any of the apostles or prophets, and we take it and we run with it and make doctrine out of it and make laws out of it. And if we're not careful, the spirit of religion comes in and it becomes inflexible.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we were always told that justice and mercy,
mm-hmm,
you know, not sacrifice and all the things that people try to do. Justice and mercy is what God desires.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, to do what's right, to be merciful, and then to be just, and this kind of thing. And so the church is inflexible on these issues. In fact, the church I grew up in, you could murder somebody, go to prison, and get out, mm-hmm. and get a license to preach in this organization. However, if you were divorced, you mm-hmm. could not hold a license to preach in that organization. Mm-hmm. It was like the unpardonable sin.
And yet there are couples, one party is in prison tonight, yeah. within the listening audience.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there tonight that are literally in a prison, but that prison is of somebody else's making. A wife who's treated verbally abused, maybe even physically abused behind the scenes, with a face for a place, face mm. in church, but behind the scenes is a whole different face.
Yeah.
There are husbands out there that the wife meters out the sex act or affection or the silent treatment, all this kind of stuff, and we live in a world today that's filled with all kinds of games. People have been educated much more than they were in Bible times. That's not to say that they weren't educated then, but we've had our senses assaulted by a whole myriad of new phenomena today. So is it right for people to consider divorce if they're incompatible or compatible? In other words, is it right for a Christian to part from a marriage where there's irretrievable breakdown? That's of course the legal expression, but here,
in other words, there's no adultery.
Exactly.
There's no definable mm-hmm. biblical act that you could say, okay, they've done this, but mm-hmm. more just like you say, irreconcilable differences or incompatibility.
There could be some woman out there listening to us right now, Daryl, is experiencing mental rape and
yeah.
torment and abuse.
Mm.
Simply because the man she married, after he got married, changed.
Yeah.
He became a control freak. He became he became someone who wanted to dominate. And this romantic, tall, dark, handsome, whatever, all of a sudden changes to be this ogre. And her whole social life has to change. It has to line up with his way of thinking, because I am the head of the household. And